Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. It is, well, it's actually Thursday afternoon, but if you're watching this, it is Thursday evening, or maybe you're listening to this as you drive up to Tallahassee for game week. Man, we're just a couple of days away now. We have to wait that extra day because we're playing on Sunday night, but excited to get up to Tallahassee, excited to hang out with Richie and Harlan and all the guys coming and then get inside of Doak Campbell Stadium to watch some football. Richie, you've clocked out for the week, or are you ready to get up there? Like, how you doing, man?
I cannot wait, TJ. I am so excited. I knew today was going to be it for me for the work week. I made sure to get there at 5 a.m. this morning so I could leave at noon and do this show with you and our very special guest who we had on last year to preview Notre Dame. And yeah, I have nothing going on till tomorrow. The wife has a half day of work tomorrow, so I'm probably going to go to the range and hit some balls and get ready for my competition with John Pock. But I'm ready to be in Tallahassee, excited for dinner tomorrow, everything going on Saturday, the game on Sunday, obviously. What more can we ask for? The offseason is almost over, and we are finally in game week.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a fantastic weekend, obviously, with things that we have going on Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday with the tailgate. We've had a lot of people reach out and message us about it. Obviously, we'll post location and everything. I mean, it's right between the football and baseball fields, but we will right outside of Doak. So we'll get people location. Just hit us up, of course, if you want to stop by. Richie's competition's on Saturday that we're super excited for. Obviously, you can still try to raise money for charity when Richie loses to both John Pock and Vic Allen in the little pros versus Joe's Knowles edition. Maybe it's Knowles versus Joe's. Excited for that. So you can obviously hit up our PayPal. It's paypal.me/doublefries. Giving all money, all proceeds to charity for that. So we're excited for it. Get more details on our social media. Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee, 1818 West Tennessee, 2550 North Monroe. Appreciate those good folks. Have a call with them this afternoon to talk about the fried chicken. That'll be our tailgate. So should be fun. Excited for it. Hey, let's jump right into the episode. Richie alluded to this, but returning for the second year in a row, Mr. Tim O'Malley. Tim, it's been a while since we chatted. How you doing?
Good. I think I have made that walk through campus in between the fields. I think I know where your tailgater is going to be. I've stayed both times I came to Tallahassee for Notre Dame games was 2002 and 2014. And I stayed at that. This is kind of sad. I'm not doing that this week. I stayed at the Days Inn next to that Firehouse Subs, you know, right there on campus, mm-hmm. right by campus. Yeah. So yeah. I have made that walk. Yeah, they haven't renovated that from 2002, if I recall.
Right off Tennessee. Yes. And they're getting probably $400 a night this week.
Yeah, they did. They had it's the worst
of change. Yeah. Are you coming to town?
I'm flying out like 6 a.m. Saturday morning from South Bend, and I land about – I got a connection, sure. I land about 1 o'clock in Tallahassee.
Cool. Will you you're welcome to stop by the tailgate for some.
If I'm coming by there, I definitely will. It's going to be nice. You have a nice fan for me, right? I like these walks through campus when you're wearing like really nice clothes to cover.
Nice football clothes games. And everything else.
Yeah. I went to see a friend's tailgater at Georgia a couple of years ago. I felt like it was 100 degrees when I was walking over there.
We have a big tent. There you go. And pin on fans. So saw the high is 90. Low is actually like 68, 70, which is like, that's probably like first thing in the morning, but
right.
90 in Florida, like in September, I mean, it's not cool by any means, but like, that's not that bad. Like, no, it's like 98, you know?
Yeah, we have great weather here right now. But Brian Kelly even talked about it. We had a heat index issue last week. It was like 110 on the field at Notre Dame. We had 95 and ridiculous. They got pulled off the field once for the heat. But now it's nice stuff. But it's, that does sound nice. Florida at 90 and low of 70. It should be pretty nice around 8:30.
Yeah, no, it'll be a good time. So Tim O'Malley of Irish Illustrated, we appreciate you for coming back and chatting with us again this year. Let's go right into it. So we had you on last year. You talked about it. You kind of talked about, I remember you talked about some, Florida State did end up covering that spread. We picked a bunch of over-unders. I don't remember, what any of the over-unders were. I'm sure the over hit on Notre Dame rushing yards. But Florida State was a little bit more competitive than we were thinking would happen. But I think you even told us, Notre Dame is not just an absolute lock to just blow everybody out. And Florida State had got some breaks in that game. There were some special teams things that went our way, some turnovers that, and that's what you need when you go on the road as a massive underdog in South Bend, and a program that just is not, is hopefully on the right track, but is not, you know, where they need to be or where they've historically been. But looking at this year, Notre Dame returns some talent, but not a lot, right? Returning what, like 8 or 9 starters total. So like, there's a lot of new faces on the front of the depth chart.
There are. It's a kind of a weird, weird situation though. If you think about Notre Dame's, like the returning players, they're, Josh Lugg is not a returning starter, but he started 9 games. And Zeke Correll is not a returning starter, but he started the championship game last year. The playoff game against Alabama last year. Kane Madden, you know, 31 starts obviously for Marshall. I think Notre Dame fans really want to see if what Marshall All-American means when you come to play Notre Dame and Florida State and USC and games like that. But hey, either way, you bring in a Marshall All-American, it's better than just bringing up another freshman, right? And we're going to talk about this. Blake Fisher is starting a left tackle, is the first true freshman left tackle to start a game in program history. It's been some right tackles and some guards. But, yeah, it's last year you just figured they rolled the ball out there with 4 pros on the offensive line. And Jarrett Patterson, who's a 5th future pro. This year I'm interested to see what the offensive line does. They have more skill position talent by a fair amount developed this year than they had last year. But, boy, that offensive line was kind of like – you're kind of – invulnerable from an upset unless a team had a million breaks, you know. But it's Notre Dame fans are excited to see the perimeter talent this year. It's seniors that have never done anything, and I can explain why if you have the time. But they are really bullish on their perimeter talent this year.
Yeah, Tim. So there's 5 games on Florida State's schedule that we think it would be no shock at all if we lost. Right? That's Notre Dame, Clemson, Florida, North Carolina, Miami. But I think most Florida State fans, including myself, would say if we could get any of those teams in week 1, it'd be Notre Dame, just because of what you mentioned, that there's so many unknowns. They're replacing so much. A true freshman starting at left tackle. We have Jermaine Johnson, a defensive end from Georgia transfer. That should be a matchup. If we can't win that one, we have no chance. That's a fact. And you mentioned Kane Madden, a guy that Florida State was really, really, really after. We really wanted him. We did end up with Dylan Gibbons. So just real quick, thoughts on Dylan Gibbons. Obviously, you know, he sounded like he wanted to be promised a starting job in South Bend. Coach Kelly would not do that, so he decided to transfer. So Florida State fans, we love it because we will take any help we can get on the offensive line. But just initial thoughts on Dylan Gibbons and what he brings to Florida State. And then Notre Dame's offensive line, on the other hand, you touched on it a little bit with, you know, true freshman starting at left tackle, bringing in 4 new starters. That's if for Florida State fans looking for hope, I think this is where we're going to try and have to find it.
Yeah, I think that's their best matchup too. I defensive ends with Keir Thomas coming in, Jermaine Johnson in. You know, Lugg's a 5th year senior. He started 5 games in 2019 for Robert Hainsey, who went to the NFL when Hainsey was hurt at right tackle. Lugg started a couple games last year out of position. He was overweight and he had a back problem. I should just say he was overweight. He had a back problem and he gained weight. So I think Josh Lugg will hold his own. Blake Fisher is, of course, he won that starting job in mid-spring when he enrolled early, and he has not come close to giving it up. So he's going to be very good, but I can't imagine he's not going to have his share of troubles or struggles against a 22-year-old, almost 23-year-old man in Jermaine Johnson. I mean, Blake Fisher is probably – Notre Dame's last 4 left tackles are Zach Martin, Ronnie Stanley, Mike McGlinchey, and Liam Eichenberg. And Blake Fisher is going to be the 5th to go to the NFL. But – he's 18, so that has got to be a place where Florida State wins. And Jack Cohn has started a Rose Bowl. He started a Big Ten championship game. He's been to Happy Valley and the Horseshoe. But your first game starting under the lights for Notre Dame at Florida State in that atmosphere, he's going to have more jitters than Ian Book would, right? I mean, if you rolled Ian Book out there, you wouldn't be thinking that you could take advantage of the quarterback. So I think it. People really are hoping, Notre Dame fans, that Cohn can be a better passer than Book, but I think they're going to miss the fact that every time it was 3rd and 6 – North Carolina fans know what I'm talking about. Every time it was 3rd and 6, Ian Book would get the ball and he would get a 1st down. I mean, right up until you run into Alabama, that was just a pretty easy recipe for him. And I think that's gone from the offense this year.
Yeah, and definitely want to get into Jack Cohn because I think that's very intriguing, especially for Florida State fans who had Alex Horderbrook starting for us a few years ago as a
from
Wisconsin.
You had Everett Golson too for a little while down there.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Everett had way more. Yeah.
Like, yes.
But thank God for Everett. Like Horderbrook was like, oh.
Yeah, but sticking to the theme of the offensive line, I want to expand that a little bit. Several publications have listed tight end Michael Mayer as, you know, the best tight end in the entire country. And Florida State's biggest weakness on defense is our tight ends. This looks like a matchup nightmare for me. Obviously, Notre Dame ran the ball at will last year against Florida State, and I'm just terrified of that play action opening up Mayer. Like, what are you guys expecting from him? Because the national hype is massive for Mayer this year.
Yeah, Notre Dame's tight ends it's been 50 years of having quality tight ends, going back to Hall of Famer Dave Casper, and they've had every tight end that has started at Notre Dame, except for two, has gone on to play in the NFL since 1972. And Tommy Reese, the offensive coordinator, said, this summer, Michael Mayer will be the best tight end in Notre Dame history. And often, coaches don't often say that about guys rising to be sophomores, but every time Michael Mayer doesn't appear on a list, we hear from Notre Dame people who are like, how is Michael Mayer not being, not coaches, from Notre people from media, they're like, how is he being overlooked? And I think it's because he's not draft eligible. You know how Phil Steele puts out his lists and stuff like that, and they're great lists, but he's a true sophomore. And Michael Mayer is, according to people inside the Goog, where Notre Dame's football office, he is by far the best offensive player on the team. And that includes Kyren Williams, who's a preseason All-American. He is a great, great player. Like Kyren Williams, maybe Kyren Williams benefited from having gigantic holes all of last year, right? Sometimes running backs, so they don't get touched for 6 yards, can look good. Michael Mayer is going pro after his junior year, and he'll be a first-round pick. So, and he talks – we only talked to him once in August. He acts like he's a fifth-year senior captain. It's just his maturity level is super high. He's a problem for everybody, but yeah, as you said, if it's not play, if you can't run, you can do something about Michael Mayer. So, obviously, they have to have the compliment there.
Other side of the ball on defense, new defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman, familiar with Norvell, played him a couple weeks back-to-back a couple of years ago in 2018. Talk to us about Notre Dame's defense. We'd like to think that Florida State's offense has taken a bit of a step forward this year, hopefully with more continuity in the offensive line, health at quarterback. You know, we're the healthiest that we're going to be all year on Sunday night. So hoping that our offense has taken a slight step forward. So talk to me about Notre Dame's defense a little bit. What's the expectation there?
Yeah, I think that, you know, if going to last year, you kind of knew what you had in Clark Lee, no matter what. I mean, Clark Lee was going to adjust to whatever he saw, keep the points down, and Notre Dame rarely gave up more than 2 touchdowns and 2 field goals in a game. They were quality across the board. This Freeman is showed a lot of different looks, 3-down, 4-down, different nickel looks, different dime looks that we saw in practice. And I thought the defense was ahead of the offense. I think the concern Notre Dame fans might have is that they have a lot of returning veterans defense of the two deep is – they never cut guys loose under Clark Lee. Like you had to earn things or, you know, Tamori and Terry would make a leaping catch against Notre Dame. But that's not cutting a guy loose. They did not have many mental mistakes. So you got to really avoid a mental mistake, I think, in giving an underdog like Florida State with a lot of talent reason to believe. And you just, you want to make people earn it. And I think Notre Dame fans will wait and see. They really love Marcus Freeman, the recruiter. And when you watch film of Cincinnati, awfully good defense as well, but it would be unfair to Clark Lee to say that Freeman's automatically going to be an upgrade because Clark Lee's, they were so sound across the board. And I think that's what you need unless you're playing, you know, Alabama or Trevor Lawrence and then sound doesn't cut it.
Injury to a linebacker. Help me say this name.
Is Maris Liefau. Yeah, it's Maris Liefau. He is. So it's interesting to watch the guy play. They can replace him in the base defense. JD Bertrand is will be a redshirt sophomore, and he barely played at all last year, but they both beat out last year's Will linebacker starter, Shane Simon, who with he actually had a rough game against Florida State, if I recall, number 33. So Shane Simon started 8 games last year. He's third string Will. Now he's second because Liefau's out. What Liefau does, though, is in the nickel and dime packages, he is long-armed, 6'4", really strong, fast. He totally destroyed Sam Howell's slant game last year. And if, you know, North Carolina can't throw slants, that's their offense along with the running backs. He is just a great package player. I don't know if he would have been a great disciplined gap player, which is what Bertrand will be. But they lose a lot, I think, when they lose Liefau on third down in those speed packages because you know, guys like that with that range and speed, and they can drop into the flat and they could hit this B gap blitzes. They really were using him as a chess piece. And we heard from Notre Dame, you know, off the kind of inside the Goog again, as I said, that I keep saying the Goog, it's their football office. Leafau affected so much that the first day back at practice without him, they had to like change defensive line alignments because of what he could do in the nickel. So I do think that will hurt. JD Bertrand, when you watch the two open practices, was probably their most impressive linebacker against the run. So I think he's a physical guy that will go in there, but I don't think he is the playmaker that Leafau was. And Notre Dame fans are kind of going to get to see that for the first time in Leafau, because he was a rookie playing last year.
Brian Kelly has alluded to and said that they're prepping more for Jordan Travis. We think Jordan Travis will be the starter. So we're not like, man, what the heck's he thinking there? But you know, thoughts on, you know, Notre Dame preparing for Travis as QB1, thoughts on, you know, Milton, would they rather be Milton? You know, would that, you know, are they preparing for him a little bit? Like, what's the, just give me the view of the quarterbacks on you guys' end.
I think injured Milton would be better than Jordan Travis. But I mean, Mackenzie Milton, when he's not injured, is a pretty good playmaker. But I thought Travis was good against Notre Dame last year. I really thought that would put Florida State's offense on the upswing. Obviously, they were still uneven as the season progressed. But they have a lot of respect for Travis because how he played in that game. I know he had over 100 yards rushing. It's unique to look at Florida State and not recognize every wide receiver that I see when you look at the depth chart. But I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, they could be better in the hole than they were just having Tamori and Terry and guys that were disenchanted last year. Like, just buy-in could be better for their offense this year. Is that going to help the quarterbacks? I mean, I know how good Tamori and Terry was. I don't know if you guys are allowed to say his name anymore. But I know how good he was at Florida State. But it seems like a lot of those guys that were – they already had one foot in the NFL draft last year. And it seems like maybe that culture is going away a little bit as Florida State rebuilds the program.
And that's kind of the danger because, you know, we replaced Tamori and Terry with who we hope will be our QB1, Andrew Parchment, who's a transfer from Kansas. Yeah. And then you think about Milton, Jermaine Johnson. We have all these transfers with 1 year that you're worried if things start going downhill early in the season, these guys, they have no allegiance to the program. What happens? That's my big concern. But one of my bigger concerns for Sunday night is how you guys, Notre Dame, just ran all over Florida State at will last year. You bring back Kyren Williams. He had 19 carries, 185 yards, a long of 65, two touchdowns. And again, linebackers, again, we talked about, you know, the tight end, Michael, and the running game's the same. We could not fill a gap last year. Like, it wasn't that our linebackers were where they needed to be and just missed tackles. They weren't anywhere close to the ball carrier with simple counter plays. A lot of Florida State fans are looking at Adam Fuller, defense coordinator this year, like, all right, you get a pass last year, but this year is different. How big is bringing back, like you said, an All-American, Kyren Williams, and my goodness, his ability, he's really good.
Yeah, he's become a fan favorite pretty quickly. He's actually going to be in tandem a lot this year. They're Chris Tyree, who I think scored against Florida State last year as a true freshman. Speaking of one of the gaps, I don't think he was touched. It was one of that, like, 45-yard run. He is not 1A. I mean, he's not 1A or 1B, but he is closer than 2 to Kyren Williams. You're going to see a lot of them in the backfield at the same time. Tommy Reese, the offensive coordinator, mentioned if we did a draft of our team, I don't think Tyree would last past the top 8. So if you're figuring Kyren Williams is also in that, you'll see a lot of 2 backs because Kyren Williams is a really good receiver in the slot too. So they're pretty excited about what they can put out there with Mayer and Williams and Tyree. And then I think the key to the running game, though, is keeping it balanced because, as I said, they could just line up last year and say, we are running the ball, and this is what's going to happen. I don't think it can't be the case in game one with an offensive line trying to gel, and I think Florida State's got the talent. You mentioned the defensive ends, and, I mean, I think they have enough talent up there if the linebackers can be gap sound to slow down Notre Dame's running game. But if the passing game complement is there, I think Notre Dame will have a great day running. And you'll probably know by late in the second quarter if what we think will happen, Notre Dame's receivers being better than they were last year, comes to fruition. If not, then I think you could load up and stop the run. Unlike last year, remember they would go with 2 tight ends. They go Mayer and Tommy Tremble, and it was we're going to run and see what you do about it. And really, I mean, Alabama did something about it. That's what it comes down to. Clemson did in the second game, but it was more that Trevor Lawrence was out there really in the second game. I think Notre Dame was still able to run the ball. I really think Jack Cohen in the passing game and the time he has is going to set up the run as opposed to just going out there and saying, here's what we're going to do, try and stop it.
Yeah, and we'll get into predictions and the point spread and all that, but Notre Dame does enter as a 7.5-point favorite. I'm a little surprised to see that line holding steady as it has the past few days. I know the very early line was 11, so I really have no idea what to think about it. Like, is Doak worth 3 points? Is it worth 4 or 5 with all the extras going on this weekend, the atmosphere, first full stadium? We'll see, right? That'll happen. But I think most people at this point do expect Notre Dame to win. I think TJ and I would probably both agree with that. But what would have to happen, in your opinion, on Notre Dame's end to open that door for Florida State?
I think it's more we talked about this. We just had our podcast previewing the game, and somebody asked a question, you know, what will Travis or Milton have to do to spring the upset? I think it's what is Jack Cohn not allowed to do because he doesn't have time for Notre Dame to hold off Florida State. I really think Notre Dame's defense will play over the course of 60 minutes, not without hiccups, but their front seven is really good. They are sound. They're very sound. Kyle Hamilton, their safety, is by far their best player. I don't have a ton of faith in the rest of the secondary, the corners. Clarence Lewis is a starting sophomore corner. He started as a true freshman last year, and we kept saying he is really good for a true freshman. Now you don't get that leeway anymore, right? I mean, last time Florida State fans saw him, he was probably going against Devontae Smith, so he did not look quite as good as he had the rest of the year. But yeah, he should be solid, but they have a couple new starters. One is Houston Griffith at safety. He's a senior. He has not done anything at Notre Dame. Top 70 recruit, 24/7, and I believe he was committed to Florida State at one point, Houston Griffith. So he is the other safety. They like him. We're going to find out. Brian Kelly's mentioned, you know, all the things they're going to do with Kyle Hamilton. He's kind of a rover. He plays all over the field. Houston Griffith's going to have to be a tackler. He's going to have to get running backs on the ground. I've never seen him tackle, so it's going to be a really – but they really like him. Either they're just trying to give him confidence or he's just improved that much. But I don't think the Notre Dame's defense is going to have a bad day. I think they'll play very well. So I think it would be – the upset happens if Jack Cohn doesn't have time or doesn't have a great day, which I just think he's a pretty good quarterback. Then I think, you know, you a lower scoring game would favor Florida State.
Kind of following up there, you know, talking on that for just a sec, like, do you think the spread, and we'll get into a prediction here in just a little bit. I have a couple off the field things to chat about too, but so you don't have to give a prediction just yet, but you think the spread's too low? Like, what's the confidence level on this? Like, you know, like, to me, could FSU pull the upset? Yes. I mean, and we'll talk about it in a minute. But for it to only be 7, I mean, I don't know. You know, I have Florida State, you know, played them well last year, got some breaks, kept it to a 2-score game. Could they keep it to 1? Sure. But Notre Dame's confident that they're going to win this game, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They're very they're a really confident program now. This year 5 of kind of a total reload by Brian Kelly. And you know, I mean, in those 4 previous years, they've lost to Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, and Michigan. And that's, they just go out and beat other teams. They're on the road in the last 10 games. 2 losses were Georgia and Michigan. They played horribly against Michigan. It's kind of like a sticking point for Notre Dame fans. Still don't know how that happened for an 11-2 team. But, I mean, their other road games in these last 4 years, they've scored 45, 38, 45, 38, 31, 34, 35. You know, they go in, they handle their business. I do think Florida State, with the Bobby Bowden passing away and the emotions are going to be there and a crowd coming back, I think it'll be the toughest place to play other than Georgia. Georgia was lit in 2019, man, when Notre Dame came down there, number 3 Georgia at the time. I mean, it was insane. I have been a lot of places. I could not believe that crowd. Notre Dame, a lot of this team has gone in and won at Virginia Tech, you know, and obviously that's a kind of a cool beginning, and that was all they really had was the beginning. But The line is surprises me so much, I'm afraid of it, right? If you're a Notre Dame backer, like, why is it just 7? I know it started, you said, you know, mentioned 11, and I saw 10 a lot. I would think the line would have settled in that 9.5-10 range and just kind of make a choice there. But is it late money? Is it money coming in from fans? You know, is it sharp money coming in? I don't know. I would not. Maybe if you just hear Florida State opening game at night, prime time, Sunday night, Bobby Bowden. Maybe a lot of people are betting that way, because I do think Notre Dame's defensive line is a pretty sound – defensive front seven is a pretty sound starting point that would allow them to control the game as it goes on.
So on that pretty specifically, talk to us about – I know that this is kind of I don't know. I like to get different people's perspective, but talk to us about Coach Bowden. I know that like from a Notre Dame perspective, I mean, you've covered the program for a while, but you know, some classic battles back in the day with Coach Bowden, but talk about, you know, I've asked a lot of people around Florida State, you know, on this podcast, but I like to get other perspectives. So give us a few thoughts on Coach.
I briefly met him once, and Mickey Andrews, by the way, but my roommate in Atlanta, and all his friends. So I was, we're Florida State graduates, and we played football with Steve Gilmer, who was a Florida State player in the mid-90s. And so I've been around Florida State program a lot. Like, living in Atlanta, I watched and went to Florida State games with my friends. And I mean, Bowden was the guy when I was in high school. So this is right before they were still finishing the top three, but it was before they became household names. It was before the Casey Weldon era, I guess. I loved watching Florida State play because they were one of the few teams, both them and Miami. I hated Miami because of the rain, but I love watching Florida State play because they are a team with a pro-style offense, and I loved everything Bobby Bowden would do. And of course, if you're a teenager, you love Deion Sanders if you love football, so you're watching that. And so Bowden has always kind of had a place for me in my football heart, aside from they gave him the national championship in 93 over Notre Dame. But I know Bowden's been a favorite of mine, and I can't say I sit around and root for Florida State all the time, but I watched a lot of Florida State football in the, I guess, 99 through 07 range when I was living in Atlanta, and they were still very good then, obviously, championship and a little contention. But Bobby Bowden's probably one of my favorite coaches to watch growing up, and I mean, just from the punt Ruski and all the other stuff, I just thought he was, and of course, seems like one of the nicest guys, you know, you're going to meet, like a very genuine person.
Yeah, I'm not sure that any of us that are, you know, FSU fans are super excited for, we're excited for it, but I don't know that we're ready, maybe is the right word for the, for whatever kind of tribute they do before the game. It may be sunglasses at night kind of,
That's a tough, I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine it's so fresh too, you know, it's not like it happened in February. So it's, I think that'll be quite a moment. I found out Brian Kelly never met Bobby Bowden. He had a good story about Bobby Bowden too, but it's amazing to me that Brian Kelly never met Bobby Bowden. Now I realize Kelly, I guess, didn't become a, you know, Cincinnati, you wouldn't meet him, Grand Valley State, you wouldn't necessarily, but you would think at some point with Notre Dame, but yeah, I guess, I mean, they just barely didn't cross paths with 2014, but that was what, 3 years after he retired, maybe?
I think Fisher. He retired in 2009.
Okay. So yeah, I guess it was solid 5 years. Well, you know, man, he came to Notre Dame in 2010. So I guess that's when their paths started crossing for Power Five.
All right. I got one more and then we'll get into some picks and get you out of here. We certainly appreciate your time. Richie slightly mentioned Dylan Gibbons, and we wrote a story about him. I asked Coach Norvell a question about him up at ACC kickoff this year. You know, on the field, off the field, I don't really care as much on the field right now with this one. Obviously, it's been pretty neat watching what he's done with his name, image, and likeness stuff and the stuff with Timothy and stuff like that.
Yeah. But
obviously, Notre Dame fans want to win, but he quickly became a fan favorite here in Tallahassee. And I'd assume he's a pretty big fan favorite up there too, from a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. And you want to talk about handling name, image, and likeness expertly as a college graduate, that's a wonderful thing. And what he's doing, he's well-liked in the program. I think it was a surprise when he left, cause he was so well-liked. I don't think he was going to win the job. He left before Kane Madden came. They did go after Kane Madden after he left. I mean, it became obvious they needed someone, because otherwise another true freshman would be starting. Rocco Spindler would be starting at guard. He and Gibbons were kind of battling in camp. And, I mean, I think Gibbons might have beaten him out as a true freshman, but I don't think he would beat out Madden, obviously. But off the field, I think Dylan Gibbons is a very popular guy. I'm sure he's got a lot of friends. Even on Notre Dame's defensive line. On the field, I think he's a quality run blocker. I do think he'll struggle a little in pass protection and some interior stuff, but he's a very likable guy. And I think it's probably great, as with young players at Florida State on that offensive line, to bring in someone like him to kind of mentor him in the day-to-day type of thing. I mean, you might end up having all the offensive linemen as they grow through Florida State's program might end up being better than Dylan Gibbons, but he can kind of have an impact on them, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, we're glad to have him. We'll take any help. You know, we take you on the offensive line last year.
Different situation with the offensive lines of these programs.
he came in, and we're glad that he's starting. But yeah, his stuff off the field has been really impressive, and we've enjoyed that.
He looks bigger. Is he really 321? I just saw that on the depth chart. I don't think he was that big here. I don't think he was that big here, but maybe this, maybe I'm wrong. He was. It's you remember he stepped chicken. In? Yeah, he stepped in. Yeah, that'll do it, huh?
All right, we did this last year. We're going to do it again. We've got some over-unders for you. Richie's got them kind of listed out. For those listening, for those watching, we do have a sponsor for this segment. So that was pretty cool that we've got some stuff kind of going with it. I don't know if you guys have heard of the app Prize Picks. Richie and I have downloaded it now. But if you go to your app store on Apple or Android, you can download the Prize Picks app. And what a lot of Prize Picks is they do a ton of over-unders. So it's daily fantasy simplified. They've got stuff, and we're picking everything from Prize Picks today. So I'm going to basically just go in and do the opposite of everything that Richie picks. But they've got over-unders on every sport that you can think of, every statistic that you can think of. They've got, you know, passing yards. This weekend, obviously, college football being so big, passing yards, passing completions, passing touchdowns, rushing yards, rushing attempts, rushing touchdowns, you know, same thing with receiving. And you can mix and match from sports and games. So it's a really cool app, daily fantasy, kind of simplified. If you deposit with code NOSLAW, they'll match it 100% up to $100. So go check out the Prize Picks app. That ad read will get a little bit smoother as we go. First time doing it, but go download the app, sign up with code NOSLAW, and enjoy hopefully making some money. I'm just going to pick, like I said, the opposite of what Richie does, and I should come out on top. So, Richie, we've got some over-unders this week. Let's get into them.
Yeah, and TJ, like you said, all of these are from Prize Pick. I'm so happy because last year I was blindly going to the Barn Sports.
Yes.
Making up numbers. Because I had no idea. I'm like, all right, well, this is where I think he'll end up. So let me just put it right there.
The best part about the sponsor is not that they're giving us money every month. It's the fact that Richie has accurate yardage. Like, he's not just coming up with random. Like, one day, I don't remember what it was, but I don't know. Whatever he said for the sacks for Miami, I was like, over. There's no way you set that line correctly, you know. So, anyway, yeah.
I think the line was 10.5 sacks, and Miami went over, so it doesn't matter. But seriously, though, let's hop right into it. This one really caught my eye. So, with no Florida State quarterback odds right now just because – you know, Vegas obviously is not sure. I think we're all pretty confident it's going to be Jordan Travis. But we'll start with Jayshon Corbin, 47.5 rushing yards. TJ, what do you think?
Man, Florida State splits the load at running back. Yeah, and so you think like, oh, 47. But yeah, they set good lines. I mean, they're not, you know, Richie had this at 100. I'd be like, under. man, I got to pick. I think that we're going to go under on this one. I've got an under. I think Florida State spreads the love. Travis runs for a lot. Don't anticipate that Florida State – I think Florida State's going to trail a lot, so we're going to have to try and pass more. I'll go under.
All right, Tim, what do you think? What did Webb rush for last year along with Travis's 106? Do you guys remember? The ballpark, he had a touchdown, right? I'll go – because of spreading the wealth, I'll go just under. And as you mentioned – experts are making these lines, so it's got to be close to that. That sounds low to me, but I mean, if Tua Feely's involved too, then Notre Dame is a really good front seven. So if you're spreading the wealth by three guys, I'll go under.
He'll break the line on the first drive.
He'll be like a 37-yard gain. Like, all right,
and I'll just be like, well, then just screw that one up. So
I'm operating under the assumption that Jordan Travis will be the starter, and I think that actually opens things up a lot for Corbin as opposed to Milton, to where you have to respect Jordan Travis's ability to pull it and run it, as we saw in South Bend last year. I think he gets 12 to 15 touches, so that puts him at 4.5 a carry. I think he can get to 50-plus. So just to be the contrarian, I'm going to take the over here. And I'll start this one off while taking another over, and that's Kyren Williams, 92.5 yards. I just think Notre Dame wants to pound the ball, control the game. Brian Kelly doesn't seem to me like the guy who wants to just blow someone out. He wants to get a comfortable lead and then just control the game. And I think Kyren Williams plays a big role in that. So I'm going to take over 92.5 for him. We'll go to Tim on this one.
I got to go over on that one too, because he's going to get one 30-yard run in there, and then he gets enough carries to get it. I know they won't. He's not going to get 25 carries because Chris Tyree will get the ball too. But I got to go over on that as well. You don't have Ian Book keeping it 10 times either. speaking, it's kind of like the other way around. You know, with Jordan Travis it affects it. Well, now this Jack Cohn affects it. He's going to be handing it to him.
I've got over as well. I think that, I mean, I'd love for it to be under, but I definitely think that this is going over.
All right, so we'll go to Jack Cohen, and this is an interesting one to me because I do see Notre Dame scoring, 30-plus. They have him at 1.5 passing touchdowns. I think Brian Kelly, he's old school, and he's confident enough that if they get down in the red zone inside the 10, he's going to want to run it. The play action to Mayer does scare me that he could get two there, but I think I'm going to go under, even though I think Notre Dame's going to get 30-plus in this one. TJ, thoughts there?
Yeah, that's low, man. I don't trust our secondary as much. Like, I know that they'll be able to run the ball when they want, but I actually like our – not the same way that Tim likes theirs, but I like our front seven more than I like our back four. And so I'm going over on this one.
I'm going over with Mayer and Fort Lauderdale native Kevin Austin, who is a senior with 6 career catches because he's been suspended and out for a year with an injury. And he is Notre Dame's 5th best overall player, and he only has 6 career catches.
Mm.
He is a – we got to the point where we're asking Brian Kelly, like, okay, we go to, 1 out of every 7 practices. Is he always like this? And he's like, yeah, it's just we have never had him on the field. He was suspended at the end of his freshman year. He was suspended his whole sophomore year. And he missed all of last year except for one game with a broken foot. And it's just been like, this dude can't get on the field, but – he is a player, so I'll go over. But I would not go over 2.5. I think it's going to be a closer game than. I don't think they're not getting 42. Is what I was trying to say. Basically, there.
That's somewhat terrifying to hear.
He is like if we're wrong about Kevin Austin, we shouldn't watch practice anymore. It's one of those things where there's media guys at practice like, look at him. And so if we're wrong about him, we shouldn't do practice reports.
All right. So the last two we have here, again, it's week one. We don't know who's starting quarterback for Florida State, so Prize Picks is kind of limited on the individual Florida State players. But I do have two receivers for Florida State. We're going to go receptions on one, yards on the other. Keyshawn Helton at 3 receptions exactly. Let's start with Tim, go to TJ, and I'll round this one out.
I'm going to go over. I think they're completing 24, 25 passes in this game.
I like the over as well because there's not a hook, right? Like, life's too short to bet under. So if I get to 3, I'm fine, right? Like, a push is fine to me. So, yeah, over.
Yeah, and I think of all the receivers listed, and we'll get to this on the next one, Ontario Wilson and Keyshawn Helton are the only ones for Florida State. Andrew Parchment's the guy that I'm
– yeah, I was wondering. He doesn't have a number? Yeah.
He does not. And he's the guy that if Florida State wants to have any chance at pulling this upset, has to have – not a massive game, but at least 5 for 50 and a touchdown, something along those lines.
I could set a number for him. How about 65 and a half yards?
All right, we'll do a bonus one. Let me answer Helton first. Okay. I do think Helton gets the I think Helton gets over 3 because I could see them using him on 2 jet sweeps, and that's 2 receptions right there. So that's something as simple as that. And then one more. I do think Helton will be our most consistent receiver for the entire year. Bonus pick via Tim O'Malley of Irish Illustrated. Andrew Parchment, 65 and a half. So this is wild because he's sounded like he's had a very inconsistent camp, but when he's good, he's really freaking good. So that could come on one play because he is a true deep threat. I have to take the under just because I've never seen him in play ever in Florida State or Kansas uniform or the JUCO he was at before that. I've never seen the guy play. I've seen highlights in practice. Impressive, but I'm not sure he has the consistency, and I don't know how well our offensive line holds up to give Jordan Travis or McKenzie Milton the time, so I'll take under 65 and a half. TJ, what do you think? You're on mute, TJ.
I'm not even editing that. I think under as well. I need to see it to believe it. I'd love to be wrong on this one, but I'm not. I'd love for him to have a breakout big first game, but I'm not buying it just yet.
All right, Tim, you set the number. What's your
pick? I'm going over. Someone in the receiving corps is going over with Notre Dame's corners. Yeah. So I'm going to go Parchment just for the – now, so is Malik McClain like a true backup, or is he going to rotate in a lot as a freshman?
I think he'll see a good bit of playing time. But, again, true freshman, I really think Freeman's going to try and press Florida State's receivers because they've not been good to, getting off the line of scrimmage in recent years. And being a true freshman, even if he's more talented than his, counterpoint on the other side of the ball – he doesn't have that experience at the college level. I think Malik McLean will be the highest drafted receiver on Florida State's roster currently. But again, he's a true freshman. So you got to pump the brakes a little bit there. TJ, any thoughts on McLean?
Same thoughts as that I've got for everybody's, you know, everybody in the wide receiver room. I mean, just got to have somebody to like that shows you, right? Like until I see it, like it's hard to really believe it. Now, you know, one of these guys may shock, but you know, like Tim said, there's not that Tamori and Terry that, you know, is going to be the big one that kind of comes and hits. And so it's hard to like just know that that's coming without a doubt, you know, this early anyway. So not sure.
We'll wrap it up here. The last one from Prize Picks is on Terrio Wilson, who's kind of a question mark for Florida State, and a receiver that if he has a good year, I think that speaks well for Florida State's prospects on the season. On Terrio Wilson, 56.5 receiving yards. I don't see it. Not this week against Notre Dame. He's not a number one. I'm surprised that they kind of made him the number one at Prize Pick, but maybe we'll have TJ let the people making the numbers know, hey, you need to focus on Parchment, McLean, these guys moving forward. So I got to go under 56.5 on Ontario Wilson in receiving yards. TJ, what do you think?
Yeah, I think he's under as well. I mean, there's the chance that he breaks a big one, but I think that he's getting not enough targets to have this happen. So if he breaks a big one, then I lose it. But I'll say under on this one.
I'm under because I think Helton's more than three. Like I was shocked by the three, and then my own personal line, I'm over on Parchment. So I think I go under on Wilson.
Yeah, I think that's the best part about week one with the it's terrible betting teams that you're not that familiar with, but teams that you do know, I feel like you have an advantage over the odds makers.
Yeah.
In week one. And we won't pick this one, but it is on Prize Picks. And Tim, I just want to get your thoughts. It had Jake Cohn at 197.5 passing yards. Just thoughts on that, because that seems like Notre Dame's going to run the ball.
Yeah, I would probably go – that's a great number. Now I'm a little concerned about all my picks because that's such a good number. I'm going to go slightly over because of Jets and screens. Yeah. I'm not saying it's looking like Trevor Lawrence throwing the ball for 190, you know, for 207 yards, but I think the screen game will be involved. They'll throw a lot to Kyron Williams and Chris Tyree, the other running back, and the Jets. I mean, you can even take out the Jets. They're going to throw a lot of passes to the running backs to slow down that pass rush. So I will go over. Doesn't mean it's like an aerial show, but over in the yards.
So let's get to what everybody really wants to know. Notre Dame, 7.5-point favorites, over under 56. Let's get a score prediction and – I guess with the prediction, we'll say if we're going over or under. Right. But yeah, I think those lines are really good. I guess I'll start it off here. I think it's one of those games where it's going to be close. But and Tim, I don't know if you remember this game. TJ definitely will. 2011 Oklahoma in Doak Campbell Stadium. I kind of see it like that, you know, where Oklahoma's leading the whole way. Florida State's right there. They keep fighting, and Oklahoma just pulls away at the end. I think Notre Dame wins this. I'm taking the under just barely, 31-24 Irish. And I think it's a backdoor cover by Florida State to where Notre Dame, the game's not really in doubt, but the window is open. So I think being at the game is going to be exciting, that we're going to have hope. And maybe I'm just trying to speak this into existence, but I do think Notre Dame is just, they're on another level than Florida State right now. I tried to convince myself to pick Florida State, you know, with everything going on, our first full capacity since the pandemic, a somewhat return to normalcy, the Bobby Bowden playing on a Sunday, the Lord's Day. There's everything for a Disney movie to make this a Florida State win, but this is real life, and I cannot pick Florida State to beat Notre Dame. So give me the Irish 31-24, TJ, and then we'll finish with our special guest.
Yeah, I don't know that Florida State keeps this super, super close. I don't like us to cover the spread. I don't necessarily know that it's just an absolute blowout. I think that Florida State has and will have improved slightly from last year, will be healthier than they were last year. Like you said, playing at home, a lot of excitement, playing in, you know, not in the cold, like just a lot of things in Florida State's favor. I don't know, you know, I think Notre Dame is, Notre Dame is, you're getting them at maybe a good time. Not that Florida State has like some kind of great culture and, you know, guys are used to playing with each other, but you're getting Notre Dame early with a new quarterback. new offensive linemen, different things like that. You know, Florida State probably isn't in this one late, but maybe scores late to make it look closer than it is. I've got 38-28 Notre Dame.
Yeah, I keep going back and forth. I'm going under. I keep going back and forth on – I really like off-the-field Florida State stuff in this game, which also permeates a little bit on the field because you're getting four quarters out of Florida State. You know, I don't think you could always say that the last couple of years, that you're going to get four quarters out of them. I think you definitely will in this game. I like the defensive ends. I like the defensive line overall. Question mark. When you say your question marks about the team you cover is – I think the offensive line will be good by the end of the year. Don't get me wrong there, but like it is the opener. So would you say the offensive line and the corners are your two question marks and you're playing on the road at Florida State? I don't care if Andrew Parchman's from Kansas. It just seems like Florida State's got enough weapons to take advantage of what I just said. But I'm in more in the 31-20 Notre Dame range. I do think they will control it at some point where they'll kind of settle in and Notre Dame's defense will be the best unit on the field. Defensive front seven especially just kind of controls the game and their cult. Notre Dame's a little undervalued right now in terms of returning starters because I think Brian Kelly looks at them as a veteran team, not as a team that's replacing a lot. They're just replacing a lot on the offensive line.
Yeah, I think it's a situation where Florida State needs, trust me, TJ, myself, all Florida State faithful celebrated that North Carolina win like crazy last year. But you need a play like that Josh Kando pick six. Yeah. That's kind of fluky that you can't there's no game planning for that. Right. It just happened at the perfect time. We had the momentum and it still took North Carolina dropping two passes wide open at the end of the game for Florida State to seal that. So it needs to be something like that, like a pick six or a special teams touchdown. That's Florida State's key to having a chance, in my opinion. I know they spent a lot of time with special teams this fall camp, so it'll be interesting to see. I'm going to that stadium expecting Notre Dame to probably win, but I don't think a loss or a Florida State win would surprise me that much. I'm just excited. We're back to a packed Doak Campbell Stadium. Yeah. Haven't been in a packed Doak Campbell Stadium in a long time. Even when I was there for Miami in 2018, there's only like 50,000 people there because of how bad we were. I'm excited. I know TJ's excited. We'll be tailgating all day. TJ, take it away, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with Tim. I think I think that Notre Dame probably puts a little bit more on. I like the score a little bit higher, just picking the over there, but I think Notre Dame puts a little bit more on us and then we kind of get one late in garbage time. So that's how I'm getting to the over.
So I got the backdoor cover. Yeah, I got the backdoor cover at 7.5. Yeah, there.
I have the backdoor almost cover. So anyway, Tim O'Malley, Irish Illustrated. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Did you have one more thought?
I did. I will say, and I haven't really expressed this on our podcast or anything. I feel like if it's more likely Notre Dame covers than Florida State covers and loses. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like Florida State, if they cover this game, might like be pulling it out. I don't think that's more likely than Notre Dame covering. I think Notre Dame could win by 14 more than Florida State will win. But I think if Florida State is just like really in this the whole time, the emotion of that place will be pretty impressive. I could not figure out the last big game with fans that Florida State had there. I was looking back at their schedule. I was like, it must have been Miami. But when you say 55,000 people, it clearly wasn't the situation.
It was Virginia Tech and Willie Taggart's first game, and we all know how that turned out. Yeah. But other than that, I do think this week will be special. And I agree with you, Tim. Florida State, like I said, I have them covering but losing, but I definitely get your point to where if they're hanging around that long and have a chance late in that atmosphere with the environment, with the storyline, it would just make sense for Florida State to win it. Or it makes more sense for Notre Dame just to win, 38-20 or something. And that's why we love college football. The spreads, I don't know if you bet on any games week one. I did. Spreads were not close. I don't think a single FBS game, the spread was within 7 points of the number. Like the Vegas has no idea right now. And I think that's kind of what's going on here. Are they giving Florida State too much credit because of the Bobby factor, the home game, a first full crowd? You know, Notre Dame hasn't played in a hostile environment in 2 years. This is why we love college football, right? Because there's so many unknowns, and we're all going to be there Sunday night, and we'll know by midnight.
We're excited for it. We're excited to get there. Like you said, it's been a long time coming. Tim O'Malley of Irish Illustrated. If you have time to pop up. Did you say you're getting in town on Saturday or you're getting
in Saturday? Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday
we'll be watching college football somewhere on Saturday.
All right. Yeah, that's great.
Feel free to hit us up if you don't want to sit at a bar by yourself, or if you don't have other plans.
excited because the wife's a Bama fan, so I get to cheer hardcore against Miami and for Bama. So
there you go.
I'll be a winner at least one day this week.
To be very fair, like, my wife is not a Bama fan, and I still cheer against Miami every week. So, like, everybody gets to experience that with you. Tim O'Malley of Irish Illustrated, we appreciate you for hanging out. We will see you on Sunday. Have a safe trip. And thank you again for your time.
All right, looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Tim.
I am excited to – Harlan and I still can't get that right for those watching. But I am excited to – get to joke. I appreciate Tim coming on. So go.
Yeah.
I think on Twitter, it's Tim O'Malley ND. I'll confirm that just so that I'm not giving out bad info here. But appreciate him coming on. Yeah, that is what it is. Tim O'Malley ND, Irish Illustrated. So appreciate his time. Again, go download that Prize Picks app. I bet I make more money than Richie does this weekend. I bet I pair more stuff up. Like, did you put $100 in? I put 100.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see who
I wanted that full match. And so for the people listening to this Prize Pick, like, I'd never heard of it until TJ told us that they're sponsoring us now, but it's really cool because if you don't feel comfortable betting on games, but you have a really good feeling on individual players, like, all the lines we just read you are from Prize Pick. So if you think Jayshon Corbin, no doubt going over 47.5 yards, you can bet on that. The catch is you have to bet on at least two players. So you'd bet on him, and then you could bet on any other running back or any other quarterback. Just got to bet two players. And there's two options. You can either take the option where if you get one right, you get like half of your money back. But if you get both right, you can double, triple, quadruple your money. There's just a lot of options. I'm really looking forward to seeing this and playing this.
It's also cool once things really start to get going, you can mix games and you can take the over on LeBron's points and Mahomes' passing yards, which is neat. Like, you know, it doesn't have to all be from the same game. It doesn't, you know, you can get really creative with it. Saturday, we have Richie's competitions. We will get some pictures and videos and things from that. Again, you could donate at paypal.me/doublefries. Just found a little scrolling thing there. paypal.me/doublefries. We will give all contributions to charity. We'll probably just write the boosters a check. So donate to a good cause, get to laugh at Richie's expense. Game on Sunday, we'll probably do a reaction show if we don't get just absolutely blown out. Tailgate on Sunday afternoon. If you want to show up, please feel free to come by. I'm telling you, so Guthrie's is providing the food at the tailgate. Drinks are going to be on Bay Cannon Beer Company. My buddy Matt, who I was actually just hanging out with him today, is bringing several cases of craft beer from Bay Cannon here in Tampa. Go check them out if you're in the area. I watched several FSU games there over the last couple of years. Great, great spot. Appreciate them for the beer that they're bringing and that we're drinking on Sunday afternoon. So get to come by the tailgate, try some different stuff. We appreciate them for their support in bringing that. And I think that's it, Richie. I think that those are all my announcements. I don't know if you have any other thoughts before we wrap up, but I think we did a good job previewing the game with Tim. But I'm excited. I'm leaving in the morning. So I'll see you guys in Tallahassee tomorrow.
Yeah. The wife has a half day tomorrow. So I'll spend the morning doing laundry, packing, all that good stuff. Then we're dropping the dog off at my mom's house in Kissimmee and off to Tallahassee. We should be there by, 5, 6 o'clock. So I'm really excited to spend a nice long weekend and not a rushed one. That's the cool thing about a Sunday game. You know, typically we get up there Friday night, game Saturday, we leave Sunday. So we get that extra full day on Saturday. I'm obviously going to need it with these athletic competitions with Vic Allen and John Pock. But then have time to just go hang out and enjoy watching college football, a couple big games, Miami, Bama, Georgia, Clemson. I want to see Penn State, Wisconsin, like that, a lot of great action. And we're just excited to get to Tallahassee. It'll be a fun weekend, a special weekend. Win or lose, I think everyone will have a really good time that heads up there this weekend. Beautiful weather for September.
Yeah. I was going to say this when we were starting, but yeah, with everything kind of going on, Harlan, I don't know if you're, I mean, obviously you're welcome. I think I told you about this, but we're doing a tour tomorrow afternoon of Doak. Richie and I and Harlan are going to dinner on Friday night. doing all the fun stuff, you know, with Richie and John and Vic on Saturday morning, watching college football all day on Saturday afternoon. I know Sinone from Knowles 247 is going to come out with us and hang out. We're going to find some bourbon bars and stuff. So we'll have a great time. Tailgate, then game on Sunday. After the last year and a half, we deserve this. Like we deserve this weekend. Like, so yeah, obviously want to win, obviously want FSU to win. But I'm going to have a great weekend either way, you know? So I'm looking forward to it. You have a song for us to play us out, Richie?
Yeah. You know what? It's week one for Florida State. I'm excited. Give me some Kenny Chesney, Boys of Fall.
Oh, I like it. I like it. I think I did that one time with Allie on the Peak to Pit podcast, like when it was like coming back or week one or something. So
it's, great it's game week. You will not hear us from us again until after the game unless you stop by our tailgate. So let's leave you with a great football song that – there's actually a little mini documentary about it where he meets Bobby Bowden stuff, which is all really cool stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. So we will talk to you guys later. See us on social media until after the game. But until then, man, go Knowles.
Feel that chill, smell that fresh cut grass. I'm back in my helmet, cleats and shoulder pads. Standing in the huddle, listening to the call. Fans going crazy for the Boys of Fall. They didn't let just anybody in that club. Took every ounce of heart and sweat and blood to get to wear those game day jerseys down the hall. The kings of the school, man, we're the Boys of Fall. Well, let's turn and face the stars and stripes. It's fighting back them butterflies. It's calling in. And it's knocking heads and talking trash. It's slinging mud and dirt and grass. It's I got your number, I got your back. When your back's against the wall, you mess with one man, you got us all. The Boys of Fall. In little towns like mine, that's all they got. Newspaper clippings fill the coffee shops. The old men will always think they know it all. Young girls will dream about the Boys of Fall. Well, it's turn and face the stars and stripes. It's fighting back them butterflies. It's calling in the air all around. Yes, sir, we want the ball. And it's knocking heads and talking trash. It's slinging mud and dirt and grass. It's I got your number, I got your back. When your back's against the wall, you mess with one man, you got us all. Fighting back them butterflies. It's calling in the air all around. Yes, sir, we want the ball. It's knocking heads and talking trash. It's slinging mud and dirt and grass. It's I got your number, I got your back. When your back's against the wall, you mess with one man, you got us all. The Boys of Fall. Thank you. the boys.